Mother-in-law wants my name removed from the deed of her house after I gave her $90,000 to buy it. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. Me and my partner have been together for 8 years, married for 2 of them. 5 years ago, we bought a home together, a small 2-bedroom unit, just to see if we could coexist without killing one another with the intention of only staying a few years before we got married and then upgrading to something larger. 3 years on, we had enough of a deposit to do just that, when my partner's mother came to us asking for help. She wanted to buy a place but didn't have anything in the way of savings. She was tired of renting as it was becoming more and more expensive. We talked about the issue, knowing that if we agreed to help, it meant delaying our own upgrade by a further 3 years at minimum. With some hesitation on our part, we nevertheless did the right thing and helped out his mother by giving her $90,000, the sum total of all of our savings at the time, making it clear it was just a loan. And she ended up buying a place with the aid of her other son. Recently, my partner has been talking to me about getting my name taken off the documentation to the house, so it's only in her name and 2 sons on all the paperwork. I know his mother has been in his ear about it because he only ever brings it up after a solo visit to her. For a while, I avoided the conversation, but recently, my husband has had an actual conversation with a lawyer to draw up paperwork to have my name legally removed. When I found out, I told my husband we needed to have a serious talk, and I told him honestly that I wouldn't remove my name from the documentation, because to date, his mother has not paid either of us back a single cent of the money we lent her. This angered my husband, who said I had agreed to take my name off the documentation. That's why he spoke to a lawyer in the first place. When I insisted I never agreed and that I was just protecting us both by insisting our names stay on all the documentation, he called me paranoid, saying that his mother would never cheat us. Now I feel guilty. Am I the jerk for refusing to move my name from the documentation, seeing as I did help pay for the place she bought, and without our help, she would still be stuck renting? Our original poster's playing it safe and smart in this case. It might seem like a jerk move and like you don't trust her, and by all means you wanna trust her, but it's just a safety net. If and when your mother pays back the money she owes, then of course your name would be removed from the documentation. But until that day comes, you don't have that reassurance. You don't know what could happen between now and then, if then ever even comes. Of course you wanna just blindly trust your mother-in-law, but the fact of the matter is, things don't always work out the way we want them to. And when it comes to this big of a financial decision, it's better to play it safe, sometimes especially with family. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you wanna listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below. And don't forget to subscribe. Random stranger assumes I'm homeless. So I work at a Starbucks right next to a car wash, and they're both located pretty close to the highway. My partner works at the car wash next to the Starbucks, and I got a job at the Starbucks since we have to share a car at the moment. Many days I'm early to work because there's no sense in taking him to work and driving home only to go right back. I was there about an hour and a half early this day because I had already run the errands I needed to while he was at work. I'd gotten up early and hadn't been able to sleep due to my wrist hurting due to carpal tunnel. This is important for later. So here I am, sleep deprived and my already covered in sugar due to working at Starbucks jacket, my bag beside me with a bunch of art supplies that I carry around, my apron inside the bag, a dirty shirt that I had thrown on, and a depressed look on my face. I also wore a black beanie every day to work, so today was no different. I realized with my wrist brace I couldn't draw, and my phone was about to die, so I'd be bored for another hour and a half or so. I sit there with my bag beside me and nothing to do for about 45 minutes, before I hear someone say, "Excuse me," and tap me on the shoulder. I turn around and a Santa Claus looking man, not dressed that way, just the white and gray beard and all that, was standing there. The conversation went something like this.
"Sorry, have you eaten?"
Oh, yeah. I hadn't, but I get a free food item every day, so I was going to anyway.
"Oh, you have?" Ah, well, anyway, I wanted to give you this. Get yourself a coffee,
he says with a small laugh, and hands me $6 because Starbucks is expensive. I said, aw, thanks so much. More because that's how I acted when we got tips until he walked away. I then realized I was just given $6 to eat and drink from a random guy. From his perspective, I looked like a young, depressed, homeless, feminine teen on the side of the highway, even though I was sitting at my place of work. Oh, I mean, he doesn't know any better. He's just trying to do something nice. At least you didn't go and blow up on him or something like that. There are people that would turn around and get insulted by this, but the guy's just trying to look out for his fellow human beings. And hey, who's gonna argue with a free coffee? Entitled customer says he's friends with the head of the company, who died last year. So, a few years back, I worked for a popular fruit company. Very yummy fruit. Rather expensive, but very yummy and very popular. One day, I'm doing my thing on the sales floor, talking fruit to some folks and selling some fruit and things like that. This gentleman walks up to me and wants to buy some top shelf fruit. Really primo fruit. So one of my inventory folks is getting his fruit from fruit storage in the back, and he mentions that he always gets a discount. A special discount because he knows the head of the company. They are longtime personal friends, so he gets this special discount for life. He's telling me that he gets half off everything he buys, and he name drops the head of the company in his chatter, saying they just had a lovely dinner and things like that. Here's the thing, head of the company had died almost a year before. One would have been living under a rock or on Mars not to know he died, cause it was all over the media. Like I said, our fruit is very popular. I won't lie, I quite enjoyed busting him by saying, I was so sad to hear the head of company had passed away last year, but wasn't the funeral lovely? I mean, maybe this guy was close with this guy at some point and got away with this a couple times, but yeah, clearly they're not so close anymore. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't know where these people get the guts to try and pull this kind of stuff. Like, how often does it really work for you? Don't you just end up walking away embarrassed more often than not? I got kicked out of the casino that I work at because they thought I was homeless. Last year, while I was a student, I worked for a casino slash hotel company which has 5 locations across the city, as a gardener. There were 4 of us, me as a student and 3 other regularly employed workers. Our tasks were mowing the lawn, watering plants, cutting bushes, sweeping paved surfaces, that kind of thing. It was a well-paid job, and the shift was also great, from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., important for later. Now for the main story. One day in the morning, we were heading with a van to the biggest casino. One other worker and I needed to water the plants, while the other 2 guys would mow the lawn. Just as we finished watering those plants, I realized I had to find a bathroom, quickly. The closest one was inside the casino, but you had to go through the doors, which are used for guests going from the casino to the terrace to smoke or whatever. Since there was no one there, in the mornings there's very little to no guests, I decided to go there. When I finished and came out from the bathroom, there were 2 security personnel which apparently were waiting for me. I had some muddy pants on, gloves in my pockets, and a t-shirt, which is prohibited inside this casino. In fact, I think I looked homeless to them. I tried to explain that I do work here, even showed the company's card ID, but it was without a picture and name since I was just a student. But they didn't believe me. They dragged me out, telling me they'll call the police next time. I then went around the building back to my partner, who was already worried about me. I explained everything, and since he knew those 2 security guards, he went to explain to them, and told them I do actually work here. They believed him, finally, and apologized to me for making a mess, but still told me I shouldn't be wandering inside the casino alone. Every now and then, coworkers would still tease me about it, and we'd have a good laugh. We don't exactly have the clearest picture painted here, but yeah, security at a casino is pretty hardcore. If they don't know who you are and you're wandering around looking the way you do, they're probably gonna come up to you and say something. I'd like to think you wouldn't just get bullied out of there though, and would have a chance to explain yourself and them take the time to verify. But let's be honest, they typically hire a certain type of person to be a security guard at a casino.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Karen demands I stop watching my movie on a flight. The title's pretty self-explanatory, but let me give you a little context. Me and my mom are visiting family for the summer, so we had to fly. Karen and her son were seated behind me and my mom on the plane. Now, I love musicals. The one I'm currently obsessed with is the Sweeney Todd movie adaptation, because I finally got around to watching it. And man, do I love it. So, of course I downloaded it for the flight. I was watching the movie, headphones on, enjoying myself. I had no idea that Karen's entitled little crotch goblin was watching also through the gap in the seats. When Sweeney makes his first kill, of course it's full of blood. And I hear the tiny little scream from the crotch goblin. Karen, of course, tends to her precious angel and demands I turn off my movie, because
it scared my little baby!
I told her, no, I wasn't gonna do that. And why was her kid even snooping on my movie in the first place? It was her job to make sure her kid was occupied enough to where he didn't bother other people. I wasn't disturbing anyone, and I was minding my own business, so I wasn't gonna change my movie on my phone to satisfy her bratty kid. Meanwhile, the kid was yelling,
"Make her change it, Mommy!"
over and over again. The Karen, being a Karen, immediately calls a flight attendant and tells her that I refuse to stop watching my ungodly gory horror movies and was showing them to her kid. I rolled my eyes, and the flight attendant asked me what happened. I told her I was just watching my movie, when all of a sudden I noticed this kid was snooping at my phone from between the seats. She told the Karen that there was nothing she could do, and suggested that she give her child an activity to do so he didn't see anything he wasn't supposed to be seeing. The jerk just pouted and ended up giving her phone to her kid. I'll be honest, this one I'm a little bit on the fence about. There is certain content you're not really supposed to be watching in public. I don't think Sweeney Todd is anything too excessive. There's blood, but I mean, there's blood in like 80% of the shows we watch nowadays. That's a hard one to avoid. If there was anything beyond heavy petting happening on screen, then yeah, probably shouldn't be watching that on a plane. But I agree with our poster that what they're watching was relatively mild, and they're entitled to watch whatever they want when they're on the plane. Just give your kid a screen to look at to keep them occupied, like 99% of other parents. I told my wife I'm not gonna sacrifice my hobbies just so I can babysit my stepkid. My wife, Jane, 34-year-old female, and I, 38-year-old male, have been together for 5 years. She also brought my stepdaughter, Emily, 9-year-old female, into our marriage. We have her for 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, while she's at her dad's Friday through Sunday. From the beginning, Jane told me Emily doesn't need a second father figure, as she has her dad to fill that role. I was only supposed to be a trusted authority figure in case she ever needed anything. I didn't mind and try my best to respect that boundary. She's a sweet kid anyway, and doesn't cause trouble, so it's not like I have to discipline her. Her father's also a good dad. Emily's dad recently got married, and his wife has 2 kids of her own who are at their place Wednesday to Saturday and at their dad's Sunday to Tuesday. Emily and her new step-siblings don't get along at all. They're always fighting, and it's pretty toxic. Emily's dad asked Jane if they could change their custody schedule to match his stepkids, to keep the children apart. It's not a big deal in and of itself because we don't live that far from each other, so picking up and dropping off is no issue, and she can easily be dropped off to school no matter where she stays. The issue is, my wife agreed to it without consulting me. Jane is currently doing a certification course for the next 12 months, and they have classes on Saturdays from 9 to 5. She asked me if I can babysit Emily on Saturdays, but I can't because I play golf with my brother and sister on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. This has been our tradition from before Jane and Emily came into my life, and I had told Jane from much before that this is important to me and my siblings. She asked if I can move to another day, but that's not possible either because my siblings also have jobs and families of their own, so Saturday was the best day for us. I told her she can hire a babysitter, but she doesn't want to spend money when I can do it for free. I told her that wouldn't work for me. Then she got mad and said golf is stupid and I should put my stepdaughter over my siblings. That ticked me off, so I told her I'm not going to sacrifice my hobbies just so that she can have a free babysitter. For the record, I don't have anything against Emily. I've babysat her before and she's a good kid. If there was a family emergency or if it was an occasional occurrence, then yeah, I would cancel golf for that day to take care of her. But I can't give up something this important to me for 12 months straight. She called me a selfish jerk and slept on the couch last night. So am I the jerk? Yikes. In my opinion, this whole relationship you guys have is kind of been messed up from the start. I understand that she already has a father figure, but that doesn't mean you should be limiting your role in her life. She's 9 years old and you just married her mother. You're gonna be a big part of her life, and that's something that you need to accept. There's a lot that comes along with that. You're not just marrying your wife. You're taking on a kid as well. She is, for all intents and purposes, your kid for 4 days a week. I feel like the bar was set really low to begin with. It sounds like you really don't want much to do with Emily, and more that you tolerate her rather than actually love her. I'm gonna have to go with, yeah, you're the jerk on this one. I understand that there was an agreement, quote unquote, but that doesn't really justify your actions. At the end of the day, this is kind of a test of your commitment to the family, and you're failing. My husband made a racial joke about our daughter. I'm a Latina woman married to a white man. We have an 8-year-old daughter with curly hair. I love her hair and she loves it too. Last weekend, I noticed she was upset and quiet. I asked what happened, and she didn't want to tell me. I insisted and she started crying. She told me her father had made a joke about her hair. He said her hair looked like a rat's nest and that she should straighten it or cut it. He said it was just a joke and that he loved her hair, but she shouldn't tell me about the joke. I was furious and confronted my husband. I started arguing with him and said he was being prejudiced and had hurt our daughter. He apologized and said he didn't mean to offend anyone. He said he was just trying to make a joke and didn't see any actual issue with her hair. He said I needed to stop dwelling on his mistake and that I was overreacting. I didn't accept his apologies and continued to argue with him. I told him he had no idea what curly hair means to our daughter and our culture. I said he should respect it and not make such jokes. I said he was foolish for making our daughter feel bad and for making her hide the truth from me. Am I the jerk? This is a tough one to really weigh in on. I want to say that this was just a very poorly chosen dad joke, but I don't know. Maybe there is more to it. I don't know if there's a history of this kind of behavior with him, or if he's made comments to you or your daughter about things like this in the past. What I can say is that you're his wife and she's his daughter. I'm sure he loves you both very much, and while the comment may have been ignorant, I don't think that there was any intention to hurt. He's acknowledged that what he said was wrong and has apologized. There's really not much more he can do after that. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything's linked in the description.